Come on, help me out. Nudge your neighbor and say, enjoy the ride. Go ahead, enjoy the ride. We're kicking off a new series called Love Brings Joy. And there's a scripture that's on this card that Darla talked to you about. And it just emphasizes the teaching of this series. I would really like that by the time we're done this series, there to be the greatest level of joy this church has ever seen. That's what I like. Don't you want that? Don't you want to get what those framers wrote when they wrote that Declaration of Independence? That you have inalienable rights given to you by your Creator for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Have you been pursuing it? What'd you do this last week? What'd you spend your hours, your days doing? Did you eat some? Was that pursuing happiness? Did you work some? Was that pursuing happiness? Mixed reviews on the work, I see. They have said if you enjoy your work, you're not really working. I think that's a good place to get to. Did you watch any TV? Was that pursuing happiness? I think that in our hearts we know, and I think the framers knew, there's a calling in our lives. I would say not just to pursue happiness, but to find joy. And this little letter that this series is based on, 1 John, is not a long read. In fact, I would love all of you to read 1 John several times. And it doesn't take John too long as he sits down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and writes this little letter to us to get to the point. He writes the first verse and the second verse and the third verse. And by the time he comes to the fourth verse, he says, I want you to know why I'm writing this letter to you. I want to write this letter to you, there in your study guide coming up. I want you to know I'm writing this letter to you that your joy may be full. Just say, your joy may be full. Joy may be full. Now, if you are a note taker, jot down beside that John 15, because this thought is not original to John. It actually comes from Jesus. And Jesus got it from his daddy. That when you were designed, you were designed for joy. Not a little dabble, do you? You're designed for something that Jesus and John called full joy. And as we study this book, the purpose of this book is fulfilled. So I would love, by the time we're done studying this book, that we find fullness of joy. In fact, as you read the book, you will find various steps, principles. And I would love, as you read the book yourself, that you make note of some of them. That you would say, oh, there's a key to joy. And there's a key to joy. One of the big things you'll find is that love is a key to joy. In fact, if the first chapter and verse 4 says the purpose of this book is joy, the word joy is only in the book one time, and it's in that verse. The word love is in the book 26 times, over and over and over again, which is why we're calling the series Love, which he talks about so much, brings joy. It's commanded. In fact, the verse that's on the card that you have to take home with you, put somewhere where you can remember, is Jesus commanding us to love each other. Chapter 3, he says, this is the commandment. It's not optional. This is a commandment that comes to us from the Lord. We need to believe in the name of the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. And when we believe in him, we will learn to love one another just as he commanded us to. So here's the thought. Do you want to grow in joy? Yes or yes? Good answer. Joy is the result of love. And so there are several steps and principles. I'm going to talk about three big ones while we're together this morning, and then we'll unpack many during this series. But I'm going to hit three big ideas that we'll review and add to on this pathway to joy. It's a walk, and here are some steps along the walk. If you want to live a life of increased joy, you need to understand that you can walk together in love. That is such a big idea for John, that you would learn how to walk this life in love, filled with love. He says that real love, how many would like to know what real love is? Here's what he says. Real love is not that we loved God first, but that he loved us first. And here's real love. He sent his son as a sacrifice. If you're a note taker, circle that word. Sacrifice. Because there's a big truth I want you to capture. He sacrificed his son to take away our sins. Here's the big truth. Real love begins with sacrifice. There's a lot of ways you can define love, but he says, hey, you want to know what real love is? Real love was God sending his son as a sacrifice. Real love in your home begins with sacrifice. Real love in your workplace begins with sacrifice. Real love in our community begins with sacrifice. Real love in our church begins with sacrifice. And when you understand that, you plant a sacrificial act, you reap the plant of joy, the plant of love, which produces joy. That real love is what brings joy. But real love starts way back here, when you start to say, how do I sacrifice? For example, this week, we had worked hard. I'd worked long days this week because we're getting ready, Darla and I. We have a big trip coming up. We leave tomorrow morning early before the sun gets up to fly up to Washington, D.C. and get all those people sorted out. Just going up there. Yeah, and we're going to tour the Museum of the Bible, which you've heard. It's incredible. We're going to go tour that backstage pass to that thing. And then, after we're done getting Washington sorted out, we're going to fly over to the Middle East and bring peace to the Middle East. That's our plan for this week. It's a big week, We're going to tour in the Middle East and get ready to take some of you to Israel sometime with us. So you can get ready for that. Amen. So to get ready for a trip like that, you work. Like, we're like 12-hour, 14-hours, like long days. And I got home from one of these long days, and I was ready to stay home. And Darla said, could you go to the store, pick something up? So basically, I wasn't feeling it. You usually don't feel sacrifice. Get that. You choose sacrifice. So I've learned this. Even though I didn't feel like going to the store, I've learned this lesson, that if I will sacrifice, love will grow, and I get more joy in the end. Happy wife. Come on, you know it. You know it, somebody. You know it. But that's not just true in my home. If I want to create a staff that is joyous, I have to ask myself, how am I sacrificing for my staff? If I want to create a community that has more joy, I ask myself, how am I sacrificing for my community? If I want to have my brothers and sisters in church more joyful, I ask myself, how do I sacrifice to make a more joyful result? Because sacrifice brings love, and love brings joy. And that's what we need to learn to walk in. He defines that real love, well, it comes from God. God sacrificed. And then he encourages us in the next verse to do what God did. Dear friends, since God so loved us, this sacrificial kind of love, then we ought to love one another. In fact, the Bible teaches us we should love each other the way God loves us. Now, for those of you that are Bible students, I'm going to take you over to John 15. It's not going to come up on the screen. It's not in front of you. You'd have to turn in your pages or open up your Bible to John 15, because this thought was not original with John. This thought began with Jesus. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 15. I'm reading. Listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus says, I've spoken to you these things that my joy would remain in you. And watch these words, words of Jesus, that your joy may be full. Isn't that the same thing that John just said? Exactly. So John says, I hung out with Jesus. And scholars would argue that John was the closest disciple to Jesus. Jesus had a lot of followers, multitudes, thousands of people followed. But inside the multitudes, there were the 12. We call them the 12 disciples. And inside the 12 were the three disciples that were very close to Jesus, Peter and James and John. And inside the three was John, who was called the disciple that Jesus loved. And he hung around Jesus and he learned the importance of love. He heard Jesus say, I want your joy to be full. And John says, I'm going to learn how that happens. Next verse, here's Jesus teaching in John 15. After he says, I want your joy to be full, the next thing he says is, I have a commandment for you. Guess what the commandment is? Anyway, come on, anybody with a commandment? Anyone just like a step ahead? The commandment is, love one another as I've loved you. So you want full joy? Yes or yes? There's a command. Love each other the way I love you. Well, how do you do that? That's a natural question. Next verse answers it. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for a friend. Sacrifice. Can you see Jesus? Hey, I want you to be full of joy. Right on. That's what I want. Here's how you do it. You love one another. Right on. Here's how you do it. Lay down your life. Sacrifice brings real love, not artificial love. There's a lot of artificial out there. And real love brings fullness of joy. Do you get that? That's so important. If you get that, that'll change your world. And I believe will increase your joy, which is what the book is about. So I'd like you to get it. Can I move on? Because all of you miss it from time to time. All of you drift. All of you from time to time try to find a shortcut to joy. We live in a world that promotes shortcut to joy. There's going to be a lot of commercials during the Super Bowl filled with shortcut to joy. You don't have to sacrifice, just drink this. Ooh, he's preaching now. I'm just telling you. It's a shortcut. People don't want to sacrifice, so they'll choose a substance. I'm just telling you. And it's a shortcut, but it leaves you empty and overweight. There's a paradox right there. And I'm not laying it heavy on you. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, let me confess. I too search for shortcuts to joy, but they're not good. Someone says, I don't want to do the sacrificial thing of loving my spouse inside my marriage, so I'm going to go outside for a cheap thrill. But a cheap thrill is not joy. It's a cheap thrill. It's a shortcut. And when we drift from the path of joy, here is the good news. There is a way to come back, and it's called the path of forgiveness. This is so important. And it's true for all of us, because John gives us this incredible truth. He says, listen, this is for everybody, all of you in the church, all of you at the Church of Hope, all of you watching online, all of you watching, there's someone watching from Germany right now. This is for you in Germany. If we say we never take a shortcut to joy, I've paraphrased, but you see what I'm doing? If we say I have no sin, you're not being truthful. You're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. So this is for everybody. Everyone tries from time to time to take a shortcut, because sacrifice is no fun. Sacrifice is like a sacrifice. So when we do that and we get off track, we actually lose joy. The person that goes outside of their marriage loses joy. The person that substitutes substances for joy actually loses joy in the end. Brokenness. So if that happens, he says there's a pathway back home. Verse 9, that if you will confess your sins, you're searching for joy in all the wrong places. If you confess that, then God is faithful and he's just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Not just forgive you, but to cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. That's good news. Because let me tell you this, sin messes up God's joy. It does. It's not that God has all these rules to make life unjoyful. God is actually the author of joy, and he knows how things work best. And when you break his rules, you actually have some shame and some guilt, and you know what? That takes away your joy. So you have to come to the place where you ask for forgiveness. And he says, I'm going to be faithful. Your joy is not based on your faithfulness, it's based on his faithfulness. He says, I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to cleanse you. That's such good news. Does anybody know what an Etch-a-Sketch is? I never want to touch an Etch-a-Sketch, play with an Etch-a-Sketch. It's got those two white knobs and that red, and you spin them around, and you try to make pictures, which are very difficult. And if you do it long enough, eventually Etch-a-Sketch just looks like a mass of sketch. So what do? You turn the thing over and you shake it and you begin again. And this is what God says, okay? When your life is a mess, when it's all the lines are all, you've been looking for the wrong stuff and you've been doing the wrong stuff. He says, okay, come on. Come back to forgiveness. Let me forgive you and let me turn you over and let me shake you. So that you can look at a blank screen and go, ah, full joy is available for me. And it is. Doesn't it take joy away from you when you disappoint God? How about this? How about when someone else is a jerk? Does that take away your joy? It can. You can be having a great day. Things are going great. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Then somebody cuts you off or has more items in their cart than 10. And you're counting them. And here's the great restorer of joy. Forgiveness is the great restorer of joy. It is. So when we ask for forgiveness and God cleanses us, then we're able to have restored joy. When we forgive others, we take our focus off of what they have done and get them back on God, who is the source of joy, and we begin to enjoy again. So the path of forgiveness is so important for living full joy. So live in love, live in forgiveness. And then the last thing I'll just mention is this, live with the truth of eternal life. It's in the last chapter. So I'm taking a verse from the first chapter and the last chapter. And we'll get there. In fact, the last message of this series will be on eternal life. Don't miss it. It's going to be great. But thanks for your encouragement. Well, here's the chapter 5. I've written you these things. I've been the whole book. You've been reading it. Hopefully, while you've been reading, your joy has been going up. there's going to become circumstances around you that are going to try to steal your joy. So I want to give you this last thought. He says, I want you to know that you can believe in the name of the Son of God every day, 24 hours a day. You can believe in his name. And you can, I love this, you can, what's that word? This is so important. You can, everyone say, good strong, give it to me. A good strong. You can know that you have eternal life. This is so important because I ask people, is heaven your home? And they go, I hope so. I say, you don't have to hope so, you can know so. It's written, this stuff is written so that you can know that heaven is your home, that you have eternal life. So I would like 100% of us here today watching this message, however, I would like 100% of us to know you have eternal life. And I'd like you to know that you have it now. I'd like you to know you have it now. Eternal life doesn't begin for you the moment you die. Eternal life begins for you the moment you receive Jesus. And it's eternal. And it actually is the atmosphere of heaven. Inside your soul is the atmosphere of heaven. And heaven is a very joyous place, isn't it? Who wants to go to heaven and it be a drag? That's not the heaven I read about. I mean, there is worship. There's a worship band to end all worship bands. And Jesus is there right in the middle, and people are stacked up all around him, and they're throwing crowns. Man. And they're happy. So I know sometimes you're going to go through difficult circumstances, but know this truth. Joy is an internal issue, not an external issue. Joy comes from what's inside of you, not what happens outside of you. Joy is the cause and not the effect. Joy isn't changed by your circumstances. Joy changes your circumstances. If you know, heaven is in my soul. Even when people have more than 10 things in the basket in front of you, heaven is in my soul. Joy is like holy helium. The holy helium of heaven. That's what joy is like. You know what helium does? A helium balloon is lighter than air. It goes. Well, come on, don't you know this? That wasn't even a trick question. You're like, maybe it's a trick question. Let's all just agree that a helium-filled balloon goes. Yeah, okay. Do you think I'll preach shorter if you don't give me answers? A non-helium-filled balloon goes down. And there's all kinds of forces in this world that are trying to pull you down. Darkness, depression, negativity, taxes. That's why those declaration people signed that declaration in the beginning. But hope that comes from the God of hope that fills our balloon with helium rises above the circumstance. And I would just like to come to church on a weekend where everybody is full of joy. It would be awesome, baby. Like, today, the stadium is going to be rocking over a little piece of leather. And we've got something so much more. Heaven. Heaven is in our hearts. And it lifts us. I look at you and I just go, Not everybody gets it. Some people come in. Some come in with a fullness of joy. I can feel your vibration. You radiate. Other people, you don't got it. But John says, I want you to have it. John is writing to his friends. I think John like looked over the fellowship and he is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, I got to write to you guys. I got to write to you that your joy would be full. I read a survey just getting ready for the message. It was done in the 90s. I think it would be still true that four-year-old children laugh an average of 400 times a day. Adults, 15. And some of you aren't even getting that one. No wonder Jesus says, hey, kingdom? It's childlike for a lot of reasons, but I think that children get this. Where sometimes we just take ourselves too seriously. Stop that. Nobody else does. Some of you will get that later. It's not based on your circumstances. It's based on an inner, holy presence that heaven is in your heart. The Apostle Paul is writing in Philippians 4:4 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he writes these beautiful words, which are like an exhortation to us. He writes, rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes. That's not what he wrote. No. Right. He writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And then I think he got hit with a holy wave of joy. When's the last time you got hit with a holy wave of joy, where you felt the helium of heaven lift you? You had to look down at your feet and make sure you're still on the ground. Because he writes this, rejoice in the Lord always. Wave of joy. And again, I say, rejoice. And he wrote those words in prison. And he was in for doing good stuff. He was in prison for telling people about Jesus. He could have been filled with gripes and complaints and, God, why have you forsaken me here? But in prison, he was lifted by the holy helium of heaven. He was in chains, chained to a Roman guard, but he saw it differently. The Roman guard was actually chained to him. He wasn't getting away. Just imagine, you that Roman guard could not get away from Paul's witnessing. And I'm sure Paul witnessed about Jesus and the kingdom of God and angels and the devil and overcoming. And he gave it to that guard, and the guard couldn't get away from him because he was chained to Paul. See, heaven changes your perspective. And in prison, he writes, in chains, he writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Because Paul was making a sacrifice with his life. And he got it. And it brought love that surged out of him. And in prison, he had this overwhelming joy that seized him. And John is writing to us this little book that I want you to read. I'm writing this to you so that your joy would be full. And then he writes, love, 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 just in case you didn't get it. And you're going to get it over these weeks because there's a lot of it in this book. Because that fulfills joy. I'd like your home to be filled with more joy. I'd like your workplace to be filled with more joy. I'd like our community to be filled with more joy. I'd like our church to be filled with more joy. And it starts in your heart. When you open your heart and receive the sacrifice that Jesus gave for you, and eternity comes into you and fills you. This we pray in Jesus' name. And we're going to stand for prayer. Can we do that together? Our prayer team is going to come and just prepare to minister to people. I'd like us all to close our eyes and just be aware that heaven is in this place. Heaven is not far from you. Heaven is closer than the next breath that you're about to breathe. Jesus is in the house, and I know what Jesus is doing right now because he tells us. He says, I'm at the heart's door, and I'm knocking. And he asks you to open your heart, open your life, that he would come in and have fellowship with you. He is the source of incredible joy. He is the atmosphere of heaven. He is the holy helium that lifts us. And all we want to do in this prayer is say yes. And I've been praying all week that every one of us would say yes to Jesus today. Some for the first time and some for the first time in a long time, but every one of us would say yes to Jesus. So here's our prayer. We're going to all pray it out loud together. It's a family prayer. It's a community prayer. It's a church-wide prayer. And God loves to hear our voice and loves to hear our dependence upon him. So here's our prayer. Can you pray with all the people around you and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I open my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. Come into me and be my Savior and be my Lord. I repent of my sins. Keep your eyes closed. I'm going to pray that line again. And if there's anything specifically, you don't have to say it out loud, but you need to turn away from it. That's what repentance is, turning away from it. And as we pray that line again, I want you just to give it to God. Specifically, give it to God. And the Bible says, if you will confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you. There's not one thing in this room that could be thought of that he cannot forgive. And there's not one thing that could be thought of that he cannot cleanse. His power is in this room to do that right now. So here it is again. Get ready. We're going to say, I repent of my sins. I turn away from them. And I turn towards you, Lord, to receive your love, your grace, your power, your mercy, all that you have. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Fill me with love. Fill me with joy. Fill me with peace. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Yeah, that's a good prayer. We can affirm that prayer. It's a good prayer. Thank you, Lord. So, brothers and sisters, if you prayed that prayer, it's so important that you take a short walk to the front so that you can take a long walk with Jesus forever. And tell one of our prayer teams, say, I prayed with Scott. And they've got booklets we'd like to give to you to just help you to grow in your faith called Now What? Scripture teaching to grow in Christ. The prayer team is also here just to pray with every need you have. I know you can pray there by yourself, but the Bible says when two or three get together in prayer, miracles take place. And we'd like to see miracles in your home, in your family, in your health, whatever it is, come and we'll pray with you today. What's happening? If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. Please come again. We know that God has an incredible plan for your life, and we'd like to see that plan absolutely fulfilled. If you have never stopped by our VIP room as a guest, you are our VIP, and it's over on the left-hand side at the back. We'd like to give some gifts to you. If you want a quieter place to pray, they'll pray with you in there. Just get to know you. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing, and after that blessing, there's no other benediction. The worship team will worship. You can join in worship. You can come for prayer, and the prayer team will pray for you. If you'd like to receive communion today, there's a table at the left-hand side and the right-hand side, and come and think about Jesus. Remember that he died on the cross for you. Remember that he went into the tomb for you, and remember that he rose from the dead for you so that you can have eternal life and he can walk with you as the best friend you've ever had. So I'm going to pray this blessing, and then let the Holy Spirit work in this place. You'll go with the grace of God when you want. So I just bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. I pray that your joy would be full. I pray that you would grow in love and learn the key of sacrifice, which releases the joy of love. I pray for our prayer team right now. Just fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill them up, Lord. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit be released through them as they pray. Healing and words of wisdom and words of knowledge, God. And miracles, yes, God, as a gift of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, let the communion be blessed, the bread and the cup of the Lord, as we come to receive and think about Jesus. And may we walk with Jesus every day of our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's just give the Lord an ovation of praise. Good to be together, guys. Amen. So, come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. And may the Lord bless you guys. We love you.